Christ is in our midst. Let me be clear and unambiguous in saying and proclaiming to you that the gospel of Jesus Christ has a radical call upon our lives. We sometimes forget this, especially in 21st century America, with all our creature comforts and technology. We sometimes forget the radical demand of the gospel. But I want to remind you, as members of the Orthodox Christian faith, we have been called to an apostolic ministry of laying down our lives, a ministry literally of martyrdom. The fact of the matter is that everything that we have, if we are faithful Christians, everything that we have is no longer our own. When we have answered that call, when we have decided to follow Jesus Christ and His church, our money is no longer our own. God owns 100%. Oh yes, we've only been directed to give a tenth, a tithe, out of God's mercy and grace, but it all belongs to God. Our time is no longer our own. What we do in terms of our pursuits is no longer our own unless it is in seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Unless it is the work of our own salvation. A work of repentance. A work of true contrition of heart. A work of continually entering and countering the holiness of God. And we see this in this morning's gospel lesson from the 15th chapter of St. Luke. In the call of what the men who would become the inner circle of Jesus' apostles, Simon Peter and the two brothers, James and John, who were fishermen. They were partners in the fishing industry. And there they had labored all night trying to catch fish, and they caught nothing. And Jesus comes by, and He's met by a throng of people. He's already developed a reputation of being a man of God who proclaims the wisdom of God, and people were hungry to hear the word of God. And because the throng of people had pressed near Him at the lake's edge, He decided to go out into one of the boats of those men. He sat down, the typical position of a rabbi or a teacher, to sit down and to teach. And after He had finished teaching, St. Luke tells us, He tells Simon Peter to cast out into the deep. And of course, Simon Peter had the objection, "Lord, we're out here toiling all night and we caught nothing." And He said, but Simon Peter, with just a mustard seed of faith, said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, he would do so." And he cast out and let down the nets. And St. Luke tells us that the nets were so full of fish that they labored and strained, and it required the other men to come in and to haul the nets in. And at this sign, what did St. Peter do? Did he just say, "Hey boys, did you see this?" At the divine and miraculous sign, Simon Peter at that time realized he was in the midst of holiness. And he fell down. He fell down at Jesus' knees. And in the midst of holiness, he was suddenly aware of his own darkness of soul, his own sinful nature. And he said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." It was a true act of contrition, a true act of repentance, and encountering holiness, realizing that he, as a sinful man, could not endure the presence of God. And Jesus, in his mercy, said, "Fear not, From now on, I will make you to catch men, to be fishers of men, to be princes of the church. You see, this is the means by which Simon Peter entered his call. His call, and in so doing, it says of the three of them, and they forsook all. They forsook all and followed him. Our entrance into the church, our daily conversion of life, first of all, depends upon coming in to the presence of Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to enable us to recognize through our prayer life, through our devotional life, through our encounters with our brothers and sisters who bear the image of God, and acknowledging the presence of holiness that we encounter. And it is there by which we acknowledge and become cognizant of our own fallen condition, of our own passions which war against the soul, which impede us from a life of holiness. And it is there that we begin to once again reset our faith to, with repentance and contrition of heart, as did St. Peter. I want to remind you of what was spoken this morning, or chanted this morning rather, in the Psalms, for those of you who are not here for Matins, from Psalm 51, verse 17, beginning at verse 16 rather. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. There, O God, you will not despise. Our entrance into the presence of God depends upon not the sacrifices of bulls and goats, but the sacrifice of a broken and contrite heart. A heart of Simon Peter that says, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. This is our call. Our call to be followers of Christ. And in being called to be followers of Christ, we are called to forsake all and follow him. God, again, in his mercy, and in understanding our own frailty of faith and weakness of soul, does not necessarily demand that all of us go off to a monastery or a convent to sell everything that we have, or to go into holy orders as men. But rather, we acknowledge that everything that we have is no longer ours, but belongs to God. Abraham, if you remember, was called of God to sacrifice his only son, the son which would be the one who would, the son of promise, the son of the covenant. He was called to sacrifice him. And Abraham, in raising the knife to bring about, to be obedient to what God had called him to do, was withheld. You see, God had never intended that he actually carry out that sacrifice, but rather that he was willing on the altar of his own heart to sacrifice that which was most precious. As we take inventory of our lives, as we encounter Christ, not only here in the Mass, in the Eucharist, but as we encounter Christ every day in our jobs, our vocations, in school, as we encounter Christ in one another, even in the sufferings of our life, are we heeding the call? Are we being faithful to the radical call and demand of the gospel? This is not just saying a Jesus prayer and forgetting it and going about living our daily lives. But rather, It is a call to absolute commitment. I said that we are the church of the martyrs and that we are all called to martyrdom. That doesn't mean that we're all going to be called to shed our blood, literally to lay down our lives. But we are all called to be witnesses, to be devoted witnesses to the radical demands of the gospel, to first be willing to forsake all, to sacrifice on the altar of our hearts those idols which stand between us and communion with the most holy Trinity, a life of holiness. Today we celebrate among, besides the holy seven brothers who were sons of Saint Felicity, who gave their lives as they were being ordered to renounce their faith in the year 165. Each one unwilling to renounce their faith, one by one were martyred by the prefect of Rome, Publius. Also on this day, in 1860, the church received thousands of martyrs. It was during the height of what is known as the 1860 Civil War, Syrian Civil War. Battles with the Druze and Muslims fighting Christians on Mount Lebanon had forced many Christians to flee Mount Lebanon into the city of Damascus. And historical accounts will tell us that there were probably as many as 3,000 Christian refugees living in the Christian quarter of Damascus, Syria, during this time of civil war, during a time in which Druze and Muslims were massacring Christians. And as the violence began to erupt and spill over into the city of Damascus, many took refuge in the cathedral church there. And among those who were taking refuge was one Howellini family. The mother, the wife, at that time was bearing the unborn boy who would become Saint Raphael of Brooklyn, the first bishop to be ordained on U.S. soil, whose relics are on our altar. But Saint Joseph, who was a priest in Damascus, realizing and recognizing the danger, took pre-sanctified sacraments from the altar in his communion case. And he went out through the city and began to confess and hear confessions and to administer communion to the refugees, to the elderly and the sick that he knew could not take refuge, encouraging them with stories of the lives of the saints, the martyrs, as he realized that many of them would probably be facing martyrdom. And on July the 10th, 1860, in the second day of violence in the city, the Druze and the Muslims set fire to the cathedral, burning up most of the people inside. The Howellini family were among those who were able to escape. And the accounts are that the enemies began to throw them back into the church. Saint Joseph going literally jumping from rooftop to rooftop to try and hear more confessions and to administer more communion was finally met on the street by his enemies, who recognized him as a leader of the Christians. And they took axes and mutilated him to death, bound his legs, and drug him through the streets of Damascus, throwing his body, his holy relics, finally in the city dump, along with what was recorded as being some 2,500 other men who were martyrs, not counting women and children, who gave their lives that day for the faith. We are spiritual children of that event, just 162 years ago today. We are spiritual children. In fact, Saint Joseph of Damascus is the patron saint of the clergy of our diocese. He continues to intercede on behalf of all the priests and deacons within our archdiocese, within our diocese, but also on behalf of each of you as spiritual children or grandchildren, as Saint Raphael was a spiritual father of our archdiocese. This is forsaking all and following Him. And God forbid that we would suffer such a horrible and cruel death ourselves. But the demands of the gospel are just as radical. To forsake all, and to follow Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.